Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Seth Payne and Sean Pendergast.
Good morning, H-Town. Time to go to work.
For the win, the veteran kicker, Santos. Snap is down, the kick is up, and it's good. And the Bears beat the Texans as Houston has its heart broken, 23-20. A gut punch loss in the Windy City.
Hey, what's happening, everybody? Welcome in. It's a Reaction Monday here on Sports Radio 610. Mark Vandermeer described it perfectly, I thought. A gut punch loss. The Texans found a new way to lose yesterday.
Yay! They're innovators.
Yep. A tipped ball. Angelo Blackson tip. Roquan Smith interception in the waning moments of the game, setting the Bears up for the game-winning field goal that you just heard. And the Texans lose yesterday 23-20. We are now down to two teams that have not won a football game yet in the NFL this year. And they actually play each other in Week 7. The Raiders and the Texans are the two teams. Raiders are 0-3. The Texans are 0-2-1. Everybody else in the league 3 weeks in has won at least one football game. Good morning, Seth. How are you? How are you, buddy?
I'm good. I find myself talking myself out of looking for glimmers of hope in the Texans' performance in these first three games, because it's a dangerous game to play when you start thinking like, well, Davis Mills did make a nice throw here. I did do something nice there. You got to remember the sum total of things that Davis Mills is doing more to hurt his team than to help his team. And no matter what the scoreboard says, the Texans' defense has been atrocious in some respects. I'm not going to sit here and fall for, well, they've only let up so many touchdowns or this many points. They faced three offenses who have been like at the very worst of what those offenses are and probably aren't all that good to begin with. You let up 250 yards rushing. I mean, it's embarrassing. There were good things the defense did yesterday. There's some good things that individuals did, but my God, that was just a physical beatdown. These guys were getting destroy. Like, you go in and basically it's like you walked into a club wearing some really fancy clothes trying to impress some girl, and a dude grabbed you and gave you a noogie. Like, okay, right, she's impressed with your clothes,
yeah,
but you're getting a noogie in front of her.
Yep.
And you peed your pants while he was doing it. It's one thing, there's no shame in getting roughed up a little bit every now and then, but don't pee your pants.
No.
Don't pee your pants while you're getting the noogie.
No, because that shows, especially if you're not wearing darks. So where do we start, Seth? Because there's really two things, and I think you just touched on both of them here, that were the issue yesterday. Davis Mills in the fourth quarter was again an issue, and he's just there's a handful of reasons why I think people are just bailing on Davis Mills right now, if they hadn't bailed already. And look, when you have a quarterback and you're hoping he can be your, I won't even say franchise quarterback, you're hoping he can just be your starting quarterback, you have to score a point in the fourth quarter in the first three games. A point. They've scored 0 points in the fourth quarter. Let's get to Mills in the next segment, because you touched on the run defense there. It was bad yesterday. This was supposed to be a game going into it where Damian Pierce was going to be able to run the football against the Bears because they stunk on run defense. And David Montgomery might be able to run the ball on the Texans because they stink on run defense. What happened was Damian Pierce ran the ball okay for portions of the game, 20 carries for 80 yards. What happened on the Bears side of the ball offensively was just, it was a travesty. It was a disgrace. 40 carries for 281 yards in this game. And David Montgomery, their starting tailback, went out 3 carries into the game because he got bent out, or bent, he got his knee bent back underneath the pile. Khalil Herbert came into this game as the backup and was the leading ground gainer in the NFL on Sunday. 20 carries for 157 yards. If you had Khalil Herbert in your fantasy league, you were laughing. Of course, not many of you have him in your fantasy league. Why would you have the Bears backup running back? Secondly, Seth, this is how bad the Texans' run defense was. The Bears had three huge plays in this game, like big plays in the run game. A Justin Fields scramble on the first series, 29 yards. A 41-yard end-around by Equanimeous St. Brown on the second series. Okay, those aren't conventional run plays. They're either gimmicky or they're broken plays, whatever. Khalil Herbert had the 52-yard run, which was every bit of a design play. I'll take those three out. Those three plays of about 120 yards, I'll take them out of the mix. The other 37 carries, the Bears still average 4.3 yards per carry. Yeah, you take their three biggest plays out of the mix, and they're still averaging 4.3 yards per carry in this game.
And it's not, you know, a lot of times people will try to, that's another way you try to make yourself feel better. Listen, people, I've been involved with enough bad teams over the years that I know the different ways you try to make yourself feel better about it, either as a player or as a fan. You can't take the big run plays out of it with this Texans team because A, they happen quite often, and B, it's indicative of issues at every level of the defense. So this is yet another game in which the two leading tacklers for the Texans were the safeties.
Yes.
Like, there's just, it's an open barn door for running backs just to get up to the third level of the defense, and the safeties have to come down and hopefully rescue the day. And I know that at least part of that is kind of the design of the defense, but part of it is just that they're not any good at stopping the run. It's you held the quarterback to 108 yards passing?
102, I think, yeah.
102 yards passing with two interceptions.
No, 106. 8 of 17 for 106.
With two interceptions, no touchdowns. Can you imagine losing a game in the modern NFL to a quarterback that threw for 106 yards and two interceptions?
Seth, can you imagine giving up 280 yards on the ground to a team whose quarterback threw for 106 yards and two interceptions?
Like, well, you know, probably, was it? Yeah.
You know what's coming. You know what I mean? Like, Justin Fields isn't hurting you. Like, in theory, that should make you a much better run defense, right?
My God, you know what? You know, Lovie Smith in the presser said, hey, we're not a team that plays cover zero. We're supposed to prevent these big runs. Has the Texans defensive staff and or these Chicago fans that are clamoring for more Justin Fields passes, have they actually watched Justin Fields pass the football?
Dude.
My God, Jalen Petry, God bless him. I'm so happy he got two interceptions yesterday. I could have caught those balls.
Yes.
Like, boy, oh my gosh, Justin Fields is atrocious.
Yeah.
That's what's so hard about this. It's like, that's why it doesn't feel, there's no solace in saying, hey, they're close. That is an abomination of a quarterback out there. He is just off. As bad as Davis Mills is, my God, Justin Fields cannot pass the ball at least. So, I would say load up the box, invite him to throw the ball. What's he going to do, hurt you?
Yeah, I mean, there's so much travesty on the defensive side. I thought Justin Fields yesterday, I've watched a lot of Texans football the last decade and a half since I started covering the team. There were only two other quarterback performances I can remember throwing the ball that were as bad as Justin Fields yesterday. The famous Rusty Smith game back in 2010 against Tennessee. That was the Andre Johnson, Courtland Finnegan game. That was an atrocious Texans defense that shut out the Tennessee Titans that day. And then Kevin Hogan from Cleveland in 2017 was one of the worst throwing quarterbacks I've ever seen. Justin Fields is throwing the football yesterday was right there with them. Now, Justin Fields may wind up being a good quarterback. He was picked 11th in the draft for a handful of reasons. Those other two guys were probably not drafted or drafted late. Fields is right now, he's awful throwing the football.
Oh my God.
And you lost to him.
Yeah, the for the most part, the chunk plays that they had in the passing game were classic. Hey, there's a tight end on over the top of the linebackers, underneath the safeties, and it wasn't like it was any great piece of quarterbacking or anything. I don't think there was anything to lose by being more aggressive in that game defensively. And yet they play it down to the wire. There were some good stretches. There's reason for hope and optimism in some respects for where the team is moving forward. I just think that you're, unless there's drastic changes, you're starting to figure out who has earned a spot either in the NFL or on the team. I was about to say on the team, but really, if you're not good enough to make the Texans next year, you're probably not going to be in the league either. So, like, there's guys where, you know, Davis Mills will be in the league, but not as a starting quarterback. You're starting to figure this out. I guess Pep Hamilton's the next big question of, okay, does he belong here next year?
Let's dive into that. Let's dive into that in this segment, because I think it's a good way to frame yesterday, because some of the same issues have been popping up these first three games, and particularly in the fourth quarter. So let's dig into that in terms of guys who are starting to earn their spots next year. And what does this team need to do to pull out of the nosedive? I would say there was one game in the NFL yesterday that played out as poorly as you could possibly have it play out for the Texans. It wasn't the Texans game. We'll tell you what that was as well as we roll on here on a Reaction Monday. But Vandy put it best, the gut punch of an afternoon in Chicago yesterday. If you're looking for an edge as you're picking games this weekend, check out the BetQL Network. Live odds, real-time projections, weekly best bets. Whether you're an amateur bettor or trying to be one of the sharps, BetQL will help you work smarter, not harder. BetQL, the home for wagertainment. Find it in the Odyssey app. We'll dig into the Texans a little bit more next.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's Reaction Monday on Sports Radio 610. Here's Payne and Pendergast.
Davis looking, Davis firing, and it's intercepted. Roquan Smith, 20-15, tripped up at the 11-yard line by Mills, and the Bears have it at the red zone.
All right, that was Mark Vandermeer on the call. That was the play that turned the end of the game. Roquan Smith, tip ball by Angelo Blackson, remember him. And Roquan Smith steps in, picks that off on a 3rd and 1.
Yeah.
Texans 0-for-4 on 3rd and 1 yesterday.
Do you think that ball might have been intercepted regardless of whether it was tipped or not?
I'm glad you asked me that. I watched it on Game Pass no fewer than 10 times right before the show to try to make that exact determination. Slow motion, the whole thing. I think at a minimum, Roquan Smith steps in and breaks that pass up. He was on that. He read that. It wasn't as though he read that when the ball got tipped up in the air and he swooped in and got it. He was closing on Rex Burkhead.
It's no secret that Rex Burkhead has become the go-to guy in the fourth quarter. Like, that's... And it would have been for a first down. It would have made sense but for the fact that, oh, yeah, it's Burkhead time, baby. The team that scored 0 points so far in the fourth quarter is going to make Burkhead the second most targeted receiver yesterday in the fourth quarter. So the fact that the trajectory didn't change all that much would lead me to believe that the velocity didn't change all that much.
Yeah.
The velo, as one of our beloved Astros might say.
Yep.
And, yeah, I think it's an incomplete pass and still possibly picked off.
Yeah. I mean, either way, I think the Texans are punting the football. At best case, they're punting the football back to the Bears right there.
Maybe Roquan Smith doesn't have to slow up to catch it and actually scores a pick six.
Because he's got momentum moving forward.
Yeah, Texans get another go at trying to get a touchdown.
That was brutal. I guess here's where I'm at. And I know you and I talked about, okay, who's needs to be on job watch right now, basically? Like, who's on the clock here? And Davis Mills is a clear, obvious top of the list thing here. The way things are going on third down, the way things are going in the red zone, the way things are going in the fourth quarter, like, those are the things. That's the final exam as a quarterback. All the stuff between the 20s and all these back-to-back 17-yard completions. Yippee.
I think if you look at both those interceptions, you can blame them for both of them. I don't care if the ball was tipped or not by Carlos Watkins. Or excuse me, not Carlos Watkins.
Angelo Blackson.
Yeah. Look, the first interception was classic. Oh, hey, my first read was Brandon Cooks. I love me some Brandon Cooks. Yeah. I'm going to throw it to Brandon Cooks despite the fact that he's blanketed by the defensive back. And I'm going to – because Mills is very decisive as long as it's his first read. He'll get it out of there, but sometimes he's a little too decisive. And then in that second one again, yeah, he's forcing the ball to Burkhead in an inopportune situation. I don't know if I've ever seen a team – throw to a well-covered running back as often as the Texans do. Like, typically you're dumping it off to a running back because it's nice and easy. They treat him like he's Julian Edelman in his prime. Are they looking for run after catch out of Rex Burkhead? There's no run after the catch. It's catch it and tumble to the ground.
They treat him like he's DeAndre Hopkins. Like he's going to body guys and box them out for the ball. He's 5 foot nothing. It's brutal. Rex Burkhead is going to break Clint Sterner. Like, Clint was mad about the run defense in the postgame. He was mad about Davis Mills in the fourth quarter. He's like, Chief, the thing I'm most mad about, even more than that, this team is targeting Rex Burkhead and giving Rex Burkhead the ball. Like,
and
what
to be
the
clear,
hell?
This is what's so weird about it. Nobody's actually mad at Rex Burkhead himself.
Nope.
Rex Burkhead is what he is.
Yes.
The Texans are trying to take a washed-up Rex Burkhead and reclaim a version of him that never actually existed. Like, at least when you're trying to reclaim Mark Ingram, you're reclaiming something that was once glorious. With Rex Burkhead, we know the deal with running backs from New England. They are their very best version of themselves. It's like a magical Narnia type of place for running backs where that's what they are up there. And maybe Rex Burkhead had 30 receptions 1 year. But my God. So I'm not mad at Rex Burkhead the same way I'm not mad at my hammer when what I need is a screwdriver. Like, the hammer is just fine. I got it at True Value. It's good. It's a generic brand, but it's good and solid. But it's just not equipped to do the job I needed to do.
Here's the problem. If you were the Texans, I would use your analogy and say, yeah, but you didn't even buy a screwdriver. Like, there's not one in the house. Rex Burkhead is being used as your RB2 right now, and you didn't go buy a real RB2. You know, like, he's RB2, meaning backup running back. Sorry. He's like, they figured out that Damian Pierce should be getting most of the carries. So that's progress compared to week one. But you can't give Damian Pierce the ball 30 times. And this is a team that wants to run the ball 30 times a game.
I'll tell you another thing, too. I mean, Damian Pierce almost lost that game for him, too. I mean,
fumbles,
like,
yeah.
Damian Pierce, yeah, look, hey, I love his personality. I love his energy. I love the energy and the tenaciousness with which he runs the ball. You can't cough the ball up twice in a football game when you're not even really a genuine feature back. Like, this is, I mean, you'll find yourself out of the NFL. You got to quit that now, immediately. Twice in a game, at once down in your own goal line in crunch time, I mean, very easily could have lost that game just as bad as Davis Mills. So, he gets a reprieve this week, but if he does that again, I'm having a hard time blaming Lovie Smith. But that goes back to roster construction.
Yeah.
Like, okay, Damian Pierce freaks you out because he's fumbled twice in this game, once in a really crucial situation, but the only option you have after that is Rex Burkhead
because he's
a good dude.
Yeah. It's inexcusable. Where are we at with Pep Hamilton right now?
Not impressed at all. And I've been holding off on this, but there was one play yesterday, the Davis Mills sack in the fourth quarter, where I just lost it. I mean, it was everything that's wrong with the Texans offense right now all wrapped up into one, because the Texans tried a cute little unbalanced offensive line, which is fine. That's not that rare or anything, but the Texans do it and they try to pass out of it. And it's clear that the offensive line is so unprepared, so haphazardly coached in this team, and that the protection is designed so shoddily that with an 8-man protection, the Texans have 8 people blocking, pass blocking. They've got 5 offensive linemen, a tight end, 2 running backs. With 8 blockers in the game versus a 4-man rush, So theoretically, everybody should be double teamed.
Right.
Two guys. Defensive linemen come completely clean up the middle.
Yeah.
It was disgusting. Yeah. It was the biggest abomination in play design, coaching this past week, execution on the field that I may have ever seen in the NFL. That was an atrocity of play calling, coaching, performance on the field, getting your ass kicked physically and mentally. That was disgusting. They should have fired three people on the spot. I don't even care who. Pick them out at random, like old Roman soldier style. Decimate that offense. They do not deserve to be on the field. That was embarrassing. Awful. And that goes back to Pep Hamilton. Oh, we're going to bring XFL elements. It's going to be fun and jazzy. Line up and play football. Stop this. You had eight guys blocking four, and two guys came completely free. You should be fired on the spot. If not permanently banned from the city walls. Eight guys blocking four. Eight blocking four. Two came completely clean. Oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh. The shame that they must feel in that room this morning. Oh, no, they take Mondays off. On Tuesday, they'll get around to watching the film.
Yeah.
They'll get around to watching the film on Tuesdays because Monday's a day for rest and relaxation and stroking your pussycat.
Pussycat, apparently. Yeah. That's what they do. They all have cats, and they stroke the cats. Yeah. All right, Payne and Pendergast with you on a Reaction Monday, as you can tell. We've got some other stuff we need to get into here. Interceptions in the game yesterday. I'm told every interception tells a story. Are we buying Davis Mills stories on the two absolutely crucial, like worst possible time interceptions yesterday? And also, speaking of interceptions, pregame show yesterday, Seth Payne, Brooks Kubina called their shot, and they were right twice. We'll get to that as well.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
It's Reaction Monday on Sports Radio 610. Live from the Twin Peaks studios, here's Payne and Pendergast.
I heard from a once mediocre Texan starting quarterback that every interception tells a story. That quarterback was one Brockifer Osweiler.
Oh, I thought that was a Rod Stewart song.
Could be. Okay. Could be. Rod Stewart's still with
us. Osweiler started breaking out to every interception tells a story.
I'm here for it.
Like that.
I'm here for
then
it.
Then I would have liked Brock. Now I would have despised him so much more.
Yeah, it all depends on if he wins. But Davis Mills had two interceptions yesterday, and they were backbreakers. One in the first half wasn't a backbreaker. It was just they could have taken a lead in the game and turned a Jalen Petrie interception, which we'll get to those in a second. Could have turned it into some points. As it is, they took both of the turnovers, the Petrie turnovers, and turned them into zero. But here were Davis Mills' two interceptions. Every interception tells a story. We're going to play the interceptions, Mark Vandermeer's call, and then we're going to hear Davis Mills' story on the interception, and then we'll run it through the old interception story tester and see if it works for us. Here is interception number one down at the Chicago goal line, a batted pass that goes up in the air intended for Brandon Cooks, and the Bears' Eddie Jackson picks it off.
Mills pumping, firing to the end zone, tipped and intercepted. Jackson in the back of the end zone.
Vandy's so disgusted right there. he's so disgusted with that play right there.
I think so. That was another one too, where the ball seemed like it was in the air forever. It tipped up, and you slowly realize and process like, oh, no, no,
it's getting
no white
off.
Jerseys around there. Ah, yes. Crap.
The ball. As soon as that thing got batted up in the air, I'm like, yep, that thing's getting picked off. I'm just going to sit back here and wait for Eddie Jackson to corral that. Here was Davis Mills after the game on that play.
Brandon was the primary there. It was tight coverage by the defense. He made a good play on it and tipped the ball up, and their safety ended up finding a way to get back in the play and pick it off.
He was covered from jump. That's the thing. That's
yeah.
Like, you know, the defensive back didn't come out of nowhere. Like, he was draped on Brandon Cooks from the time Cooks got out of his break at the goal line.
That was the thing there, too, and it wasn't like Davis Mills was under undue pressure there in that moment. And I think that Mills has actually shown some progress in dealing with a muddy pocket, I think. And there were a couple times yesterday where he did go through his progressions in an imperfect pocket, and then there were times where he had a good pocket and he made use of it. He's just certainly not there yet in terms of the complete and total package. And the pre-programming to go to Cooks when he's his number one read is a strong one. I have been arguing that, like, hey, Davis Mills shouldn't be afraid to throw interceptions, that he's got to just start, you know, taking some chances and putting the ball out there more. So throwing two interceptions doesn't bother me as much. It's the fact that both of those interceptions were to his number one targets. And then this one, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Like I'm laughing, but I can't even laugh that Burkhead is one of his number one targets.
Yeah. I mean, the defenses know what's coming. And defensive coordinators know what's coming. The players themselves do. And it makes it a lot easier to read a guy's eyes. Sometimes it's almost better that the pocket's clean because then they know exactly where the ball is going.
Well, time and place, too. I mean, I think, you know, there's certain parts of the field. The closer you get to the opposing goal line, the more careful you need to be. I mean, you are in range. Look, they were down 10-7 at that point, and it's early in the game, but points are going to be at a premium for this team all year. They stink offensively. So you get down in that area, and you've got to be if you're Davis Mills, you got to be more careful about things down there.
It's second down at that point. You've got two more opportunities, at least one more opportunity for a touchdown, one opportunity for a field goal. That's the fact that one was taking points off the board, and then the other one ended up putting points on the board.
Yep.
You're right. That's the tough part.
Yep, the really tough part. Here was the second interception. This was the one. This is the Roquan Smith interception off of the Angelo Blackson deflection. And this set up the Bears for their game-winning field goal.
Davis looking, Davis firing, and it's intercepted. Roquan Smith, 20-15, tripped up at the 11-yard line by Mills, and the Bears have it at the red zone.
Honestly, the best thing Mills could have done right there, if he was, you know, thinking it through, is let Roquan Smith score. Once Roquan Smith went down, you know, I try to assess the situation split second and go, okay, what's the way they still win this game? And I'm looking, I'm going, unless Justin Fields fumbles a snap, which there's like a 22% chance could happen. He fumbled the first one of them. He fumbled two of them.
Dude,
Right? I mean, that's the only chance at that point because it's under a minute to play and the Texans are out of timeouts at that point.
I actually, the first kneel down he had there, this angered me about Justin Fields. I was so angry about so many things, like on both sides of the ball yesterday, for no reason at all. Like, just from a pure football fan perspective, I know what the Texans are this year, and I'm not too worried about individual losses. There are just so many disgusting actual football things. On the first kneel down, Justin Smith stuck the ball out, so apparently, so it wouldn't be a
negative play.
Yeah.
I didn't notice that.
And I'm like, oh my God, I hope somebody noticed that. I hope that Roy Lopez noticed that and at least takes a swipe at the ball if he tries it again on this next kneel down. And he didn't. I don't know if Justin Fields thought better of it or what. Because it was a point blank field goal. It would be one thing too if you were, you know, if it was going to be a long field goal, then maybe try to get extra every yard you can. But
I when you said that, my immediate reaction was, oh, he's doing that so his stats don't get bunged up.
Oh, no. I think that's what it was. That is what it was. I'm saying it would have been okay if it was a deeper field
goal. I see what you're saying. I see. Yeah, try to get every inch that you can. Yeah, I got you. I see what you're saying. Here was Davis Mills on that second interception.
It's tough. We talk about it a lot. Tip balls never touched the ground. Got through my progression, made the correct read. I mean, had Rex open. And just the ball got tipped to the line. Nothing I can really do about it there. Good play by the defense. Just unfortunate. And down in the red zone, too. Turn the ball over. And an opportunity we can go down and score a touchdown. At this point, I mean, we got to take advantage of all those opportunities. Scoring touchdowns rather than kicking field goals or turning the ball over. It's tough.
So that play right there... as we talked about earlier, one of the biggest issues is just that Rex Burkhead is the second most targeted receiver on your football team now.
Yep.
And especially in crunch time situations, he seems to be the guy that Davis Mills trusts more than anybody else in the world. And I have a hard time not thinking that ball is at least going to be broken up if Roquan Smith is right where he was.
Agreed.
The ball didn't lose that much mustard off of it.
No.
It didn't change the, unless it was a really poorly thrown ball and was going to be at his feet. You know, ball was, Oh gosh. Now I don't even want to talk about them. What percentage of the actual receptions do you think are thrown high by Davis Mills? He's going to get somebody murdered.
Too many.
At this point. Yeah. He is consistently about 2 or 3 feet too high, whether it's over the middle, on the sideline, wherever it is, and somebody's going to get killed at some point. And he'll have only – he's like, you know what? Davis Mills at this point is no better than that doctor from San Diego that gave the injection to Tyrod Taylor.
He's going
to
get somebody's ribs
kicked in. He's a menace. Yeah. He's got no skill or technique to operate in those sensitive areas. So on that series, it's 3rd and 1. It was going to be a first down if he had caught it.
Yeah.
I think that when I try to make myself feel better about the Burkhead targets, I think they're looking at it like, hey, it's like a run play. These screens, these design screens to Burkhead, these short passes, we're looking at this like a run play. The problem is that, remember what happens on pass plays that doesn't happen on run plays? Interceptions. That's exactly what happens on these plays.
Yep. The defense knows what's coming. So those are the two interceptions. Now, the interceptions for the good guys, they were forecasted yesterday. If you don't listen to Texans Countdown, then you probably didn't win your prop bet on Jalen Petrie over 1.5 interceptions. I don't think that existed, but if it did, you would have won a lot of money because here was the exchange on the pregame show yesterday. Brooks Cabina of the Houston Chronicle, who joins us for each of the road games on the pregame show, joins me and Seth, and got talking about Justin Fields and the fact that, you know, a lot of his interceptions through the film study Brooks did, they are high and over the middle.
A lot of his interceptions, I looked over some of his tape from last year and even up to this year, he's thrown two so far this year, a lot of them are over the middle. A lot of them are a little high. A lot of them are kind of pushing the ball in irresponsible situations. So I think they lean more towards what they feel comfortable with.
Boy, you know what? As you're describing where a lot of Justin Fields' misfires have been, it's getting me a little bit excited that this might be a breakout day for Jalen Petrie.
Yes, I thought the same thing.
That was my thought as well. Wrote that this morning. I think Petrie gets his first interception today.
Yeah. First interception. You know what,
First two interceptions.
Yeah. I'll give Brooks any of my credit in that segment because I had actually read his column that morning.
Oh, okay.
So I
it's big of you.
I remembered
to footnote it a day later.
I remembered it as I was saying it. I was like, oh yeah, I actually already knew this, that where Brooks was going with this. I think that the one thing was, though, we can't even give Justin Fields credit for throwing it high. They were just atrocious throws.
They just missed it.
There wasn't. I wanted him to throw so much more. I don't understand how any Chicago fan can be upset that the Bears aren't throwing the ball more. Is that actually what you want? Do you really want Justin Fields running the ball more? You need to go back to single wing football and have this dude get 20 carries a game minimum, because oh my God, he's awful.
The only explanation for a Bears fan wanting him to throw the ball more would be that that's the easiest way to get Justin Fields out of town. Is they're going to lose a bunch of games, and you go find Justin Fields' replacement, because he's not the quarterback there long term.
Yeah, and that's where, you know, if you're just tuning in and you're thinking, like, oh my gosh, I can't believe these guys think that Justin Fields is worse than Davis Mills. No. They're all bad. Everybody except Trevor Lawrence from that quarterback class is going to end up being a disappointing failure. Don't get me wrong, but the Texans at least didn't trade up to the 11th spot in the draft to pick him.
Yeah. Mills so is more disposable.
That's the tough part for the Bears, is that they traded up to get this quarterback in the first round, and they're going to have to draft another quarterback next year. Whereas the Texans will draft a quarterback after disposing of Davis Mills.
Yeah.
We'll keep him around. I don't know.
Yeah, Mills can be the backup. Like, there is something to being the 11th overall pick versus the 67th overall pick. The 11th overall pick, you can't keep that guy around to be a backup. It's just, and Fields strikes me a little as a guy who would be a pain in the ass to have around as a backup. Just your general observation. We were speculating yesterday on the post game show with some degree of seriousness. Do you think that Fields is sabotaging his own efforts just so he can get up and out of Chicago? You know who his agent is, Seth.
Oh, that's right. That's right. Agent, David Mulligetta.
David Mulligetta is his agent. Yeah. Do you think he's sabotaging himself so he can? It's hard for him to demand a trade right now because he sucks.
He might end up being one of those. Davis Mills might end up being one of those guys that becomes like the constantly intriguing backup quarterback, that he's always around and he's a good dude. And people are always wondering. He ends up getting like contracts. I'm trying to think of, there was a guy like this who's been out of the league for a couple years, but he ended up going with the Chiefs for a while. But he was
Chase Daniel was the name of the
media. He's
Herbert's backup right now.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, he's still. That's right. Yeah, Chase Daniel. So we'll see him next week. The future Davis Mills is a guy that has been around forever and has done a good job of not playing that much.
Yes.
So people keep thinking like, oh, yeah, I like that guy. I
Mills
trust him.
Has played too much. There's too
yeah,
much.
I know. But at least he's doing it on a bad team early in his career.
Yeah.
If he had been a first overall pick or something,
right,
then you're screwed big time. But because Chase Daniel has never actually been really depended upon or anything, yeah, he can always have that intrigue as a guy that needs to make $5 million a year as a backup.
Never been depended upon, but dude has gotten paid through the year. He's made like $40 million. He's made like $40 million, and I don't even know if he's started 5 games in his career.
He's started five games.
He's 2-3.
He's attempted a total of 197 passes since 2010. So, yeah, he's averaging about 1.9 pass attempts or 19 pass attempts.
Dude,
per year.
$40 million. That's the gig right there. Just being a backup quarterback that never plays, but you get paid millions of dollars.
What about a quarterback who sucks making $250 million, like Russell Wilson?
Yeah,
that's not a bad gig.
That's a good gig too. There's a lot more scorn that comes with that one, though. I don't like being disliked.
That's true. Yeah. At the end of the day, is $40 million to be intriguing better than $250 million to be despised?
You can't spend
it
all anyways. Yeah,
yeah.
You know,
yeah.
My great great grandkids would probably want me to be the $250 million guy.
It's like the advice my grandfather always used to give me. Seth, Never live your life in such a way that $240 million would change your life that
good
much
advice.
More than $40 million.
It's yeah. really...
Live frugally, my son.
Yeah,
the,
yeah.
Living off the interest of $40 million is probably about all you should hope for
Boy.
Or need in this life, yes.
I wish I'd met your grandfather. I wouldn't have blown through that $240 million so quickly that I had back in the day.
My grandpa, God bless him, he was old school and felt that, you know, children should be treated harshly in such a way as to toughen them up. But I remember sitting, I was working on the farm one summer, and he and I were having lunch, and we were sitting eating bologna sandwiches, because that's what Grandpa made for lunch. And he was reading in the paper about Mike Tyson making like $5 million or something. And my dad, and I can remember, I was like 12 years old, and my grandpa said, "Huh, that's more money than you or I'll ever see." And I remember thinking, like, that doesn't seem like the kind of stuff you should be feeding your 12-year-old's head.
Supposed to be lifting
point, like,
me up.
Yeah, where's the sky is the limit type stuff where you can do anything you set your mind to? Like, nope, you put a cap on it right there. That's your earning potential at best.
Who's your favorite relative? My nihilist grandfather. Oh man, that is funny. Seth, how did you achieve all your hopes and dreams? It was a pep talk that my grandfather gave me that said that I'm never going to amount to anything that'll make $5 million.
The conflicting emotions of wanting to prove my grandfather wrong, but also feeling guilty like I was somehow letting him down. Oh, that was man.
That is funny. All right, 713-572-4610 is the number. All right, Davis Mills yesterday. Look, I mentioned it before. There's certain situations when you're the starting quarterback for a team that are just, they're the final exam in this thing. And they may not be a majority of the plays in the game, but they're the ones that matter. And on those plays, Davis Mills stinks right now. I've got the numbers to back it up. We will share them with you and smarten you up at the water cooler next. I also got to tell you that Texans Ticket Tuesday is back tomorrow. Listen here for the details, giving you three chances to win front row seats to Sunday's game against the Chargers. All you got to do is listen during our show, and you could be sitting in the best seats in the house on Sunday afternoon.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.